please state your name, what you do, and how long you've been doing it.
Sure. I am Kevin Hart. I've been doing this for 35 years. Okay.
wait a minute.
I'm Drew Lynch. 26. I've been doing comedy for 6 years. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what got you into that? What made you want to become a comic?
Man. I didn't want to become a comedian. I always wanted to do the acting thing out in Los Angeles. And about 6 years ago, I had a softball injury that forced me to deal with a speech impediment that I still have. And I was represented at the time by this kind of a big agency, and I had done some shows for Nickelodeon and Disney, just because I looked so young. And they told me that they couldn't represent me anymore because I didn't have, because of the loss of the functionality of my motor skills, which at the time was obviously a devastating thing to hear. And I worked at a comedy club already just because it served as a night job,
mm-hmm.
so I could have my days free to audition. But I had attempted to do stand-up back when I had the fluidity of my voice. I had attempted it maybe two times before then, and it just kind of, I used it as a vehicle for like a therapeutic outlet. You know, earlier on in my career, I was making tons of jokes about my stutter, just because that was a great way to combat it. That was a great way to be like, look, I can make fun of myself, and I can share some common ground with the audience, because it's an apparent thing. And by making fun of yourself, you're able to bolster your, I guess, not just your likability on stage, but your vulnerability on stage. And I think comics, there's two kinds, and there's the comedian who is just always wanted to do stand-up ever since they were a little kid, or their dad showed them stand-up clips or whatever, and they've always wanted to do it. And then there's other comics that kind of subscribe to the idea that comedy picks you for whatever reason, like you have a tragedy that happens in your life, or you have some turn of events that forces you to really deal with yourself in an art form like stand-up.
A lot of the comics that I've spoken with, and you know, just hearing it over the years, they, one thing they all seem to share or have in common is that comedy helps them work through whatever, whether it's depression, whether it's, you know, speech impediments, just personal stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that safe to say for you as well?
Absolutely. I mean, on top of, you know, my own issues, there's a plethora of issues that a number of comedians all have. I think almost all of us deal with some version of mental illness, because you would have to be mental to pursue such a vigor. I mean, it's a grind. There is no breed that is like a comedian, because we'll perform anywhere for anyone for any money, or any, if you don't have money, any slice of pizza or whatever it is that the payment is that day. Sometimes the reward is just knowing that someone can validate you through, you know, laughing at a thing, or even just acknowledging that you took the time to craft a joke and hopefully say it in a way that can warrants a response. So Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that.
How would you describe your comedy?
You know, like mediocre, like 5. this is out of 40, right? Yeah, 5.
Yeah.
It used to be about my stutter almost entirely. It used to be me feeling like I had to use that just because that was my identity, or that was like a niche, or that was like a, I hate the word shtick because that implies that it's played up, or that it's it reaches out past what the actuality of the situation entails. But
it was like a gimmick at first.
Yeah, I hate that word too. It's because it wasn't necessarily a gimmick. It was just I was doing it because, first of all, I was working through it therapeutically, and then secondly, people would come eventually. I mean, early on, I would have, I don't know, a person or two who would find out I was performing in town, and they would be like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna go see that stuttering guy." I would hear people say that stuttering guy, and it was a good thing. But then quickly thereafter, it became like a, not a curse, but it's just like, yeah, you don't want to be known by that. You want to have a name. You want somebody to. I wanted to, you know, so it's transitioned from being, oh, this stuttering guy to, oh, that's a guy who happens to stutter. Mm-hmm. And I've moved away from joking about my voice, because since then I've challenged myself to make sure it's not just being used as a crutch, and that I can be funny in spite of that. That is, to me, how you get respect from your peers, is... Any comedian who's black can go up there and talk about being black and mine that cave until you have gold. I mean, you can do that over and over, but it's when you can personalize something that's not so apparent to be able to, like, when you get an audience of people who just want to hear you say anything, that's when I feel like you've succeeded. Some of my favorites are like Louis C.K., Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle. I like all of those guys. And I'll tell you what, you can say to Louis and Bill and Dave, you can say, talk about Donald Trump and talk about grapefruit and talk about, I don't know, unicorns or whatever.
There is this debate, or like, I'm sure you've heard Chris Rock talk about, you can't do shows at college campuses because PC culture, it's killing comedy, and so certain types of comedy are kind of going by the wayside. And I was just wondering if not, you know, being hindered. So.
Yeah, you know, not to disagree with someone who is as profound and great as Chris is. He's a different brand. I mean, he's a different brand than I am, and so is lots of the big guys. I mean, Jerry said this as the same thing, where he was like, I can't do it. They're too PC. And you know what? It might be true that a lot of kids on college campuses may not have had as much experience as these guys are. There's a huge age gap. But that's not their fault. They transitioned from high school to college off most times, and you're still a little bit in a. There's still a sense of being independent, but it's going to be different than these guys who are clearly seasoned in their life. They're well into their lives, you know.
Right. I got one last. Do we got time for one? One quick question. I've talked to a few comics now, all from around here, and they said that coming from an area where there's nothing, you know, like there's a lack of culture, there's a lack of people, you know, it's actually good for comedy in some ways, because it can be a stifling thing for anybody to live in a place where there's just nothing to do. And so in some ways, wherever you come up, there's a challenge that can make you a better comic. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean it all comes down to hard work, you know, no matter where you are, wherever you are. Like me personally, I don't like New York, the city to live, but to be in, there's so much just stimulus. There's this guy over here who's doing this thing. There's this chick. There's a guy who's openly weeping right here. There's whatever. That's incredible. But I, at the same token, I could live out here for a week and come up with a number of things that I could spin into. So it's just, it's about, you can do comedy, I think, wherever, but if you're from here, you should go to the city, and if you're from the city, you should go here. Because, that's our job, is to just take stimulus and make sure that it was originally a box of clay, and then figure out how to make, you know, whatever, the sculpture. I don't know what clay does. So.
Well, I mean, I have no further questions. Is there anything you want to add or anything I'm forgetting?
No, not at all, buddy.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Devin.